interestingly enough, when we ran this with a senior leadership team, we found that the CEO was talking and making all the decisions. And because he spoke first, everyone else was like, yeah, great idea. Let's do that. But then I pulled the CEO aside and said, how about you don't speak until everyone else has spoken? See what happens. It was transformational. They smashed through the challenge. They're doing it at such a faster rate because they had the independent contributors. They weren't just agreeing to what the CEO said. And that's now translated into their company culture.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about really creative and innovative online programming that makes kids' day and that they just love to engage with. And joining us today for that conversation is Alan Tang, who is the co-founder of Collaboration Laboratory, or CoLab. So, Alan, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Annalise, thank you for having me. I'm a huge fan.
Oh. That's sweet. I'm super excited. I think we're going to be fanning on each other by the time we get finished with this conversation today. So I appreciate that very much. So let's set a little bit of context for our listeners as we get started. The Collaboration Laboratory is an award-winning online program that supercharges social, emotional, and strategic skills for children to play. And CoLab uses games, discussions, and escape rooms that teach kids life skills like confidence and communication, leadership, emotional intelligence, empathy, all those things that we desperately need kids of the world to know. And here's my favorite part of this. It's think Pokemon meets Sherlock Holmes. Who doesn't want that for their kids, right? So we're super excited about all of this. And I'm going to leave it there so that Alan can really sort of explain to us what's going on. Because there's lots of elements. There's curriculum, there's live, there's asynchronous, there's coaching, there's feedback. There's just so much to dig into with what CoLab has going on. So Alan, let's start with a really big picture, high level. Anytime I talk to founders or co-founders, I always ask this question. What the heck were you thinking?
That is a great question. I'll be honest, I fell into education. So my career was in corporate finance. I used to build onshore, offshore wind farms. And then I got very disillusioned of that world. And I quit to become a chef. I became a chef, as you do. And much to my parents' disappointment. I did it for 3 years and I really learned the power of change and pivoting during that process. And it gave me the confidence to try new things. And after 3 years, I spent the last 10 years, working as a chief of staff to different startups. And one of those startups was Symphysis, which is the Elon Musk online school. And there they started using games to teach kids these life skills. And when I was coaching and facilitating there, you saw the impact that education, good education, can have on these kids, you know, growing daily, learning all these skills that, you know, even adults struggle to master. And it just made me think education is the one thing that I want to focus my career on. 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we set up Collaboration Laboratory, CoLab. And the idea is, like you said, we want to teach kids these life skills, but doing it in a way that's fun, that's engaging, and also doing it in a way that's bringing together kids from around the world. You know, with the online nature of technology now, why can't we bring together kids from Africa, Japan, China, New Zealand, Australia, Dubai, and then get them to share cultures and share languages? You know, during this time last year, we had an Indian student talk about Diwali, and no one on the call, none of the children knew what Diwali was. And he started explaining it, and then the other kids were asking these questions without any sort of, you know, without being politically correct. They were just asking what they thought was curious.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to a really great discussion about different cultures. And then they started talking about Chinese New Year. They started talking about, you know, all these different things, even Christmas. And I loved that because that's what education should be, right? You're curious, you're asking questions, and you end up learning something you remember.
Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% what education should be about. And I love the organic nature of what you just described, right? Because that is the most authentic learning opportunity that kids can engage in, right? And so it's really, really fabulous. So I have 1,000 questions, honestly, just from the little bit that you shared with me. But I don't want to get too far down a rabbit hole that's not about Colab, and I could totally go there with you. So, but let's talk a little bit about sort of the way the platform and the material that's in the platform works. So I think folks are familiar with the concept of you log on to something, there's a library of options, if you will, that you choose, and I'm generalizing here, right? And then you select a thing and you do a thing. But there's more to it than that with the Colab platform, because you're actually trying to get these kids who participate to really get some wicked skills, not just a cursory glance, right? I mean, I think that that's one of the things about the immersive way that it feels to the participant. So could you help our listeners understand, hey, I want to do this thing. What am I going to do with it? And is it in schools? Is it after school? Is it all over the place? Is it any and all?
So much to unpack there. So just taking a step back, the idea of Colab was very much to teach kids these life skills in a fun, engaging way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a fellow educator, you know that the biggest challenge is engagement. If you have a student engaged and they're mm-hmm. curious, that self-directed learning makes the learning journey so much more enjoyable and easier. So the concept of Colab is that students from around the world would join a cohort, and the cohort's up to 12 kids, minimum 8. And they will join this online platform, which looks like Pokemon. It's 2D pixel art. It's very, already you've captured their attention. Mm-hmm. They can change their avatar. They can, basically what Kath said, right? You can change your avatar, you can adapt it, you can show that creativity. And then they are presented by the two facilitators there, three options. One's a game, one's a discussion, one's an escape room. And each of these challenges have mm-hmm. a particular learning objective. So one might be emotional intelligence, one might be ethical decision-making, one might be communication skills. And we leave it to the students to decide which challenge to do. The point of that is that we want them to learn how to negotiate, how to communicate, how to compromise, but also then how to have the agency to make their own decisions. You know, if I think about myself as an employer, what do I look for in future employees? Do you fit into my culture? Do you have a desire to learn? Do you have an ability to learn? But also, can I leave you to your own initiative to come up with solutions? I don't turn up to work and say, hey, Annalise, what do I need to do today? But it doesn't happen, right? So why aren't we helping our children learn those skills? So that's the concept of Colab. They choose a challenge, and then they go into that challenge, and we are very much coaches, we're facilitators. We don't tell the children, this is how you play it, this is what you do. We tell them the purpose, so the goal, whether it's to escape a dungeon, to make the right decisions, to save these Luma foxes from extinction, to save these temples from being flooded, whatever it is. We tell them that goal, and we let them figure it out. The idea is that it's about experience-based learning. It's about the kids, the students, making mistakes, experimenting, coming up with different hypotheses, iterating those, and then working together to figure out, you know, how to solve the problem, because it's meant to mimic real life. You know, sometimes you'll work with people that you don't know. Sometimes you will have a problem you have to solve that you don't know the answer to. We're trying to replicate that in a safe, fun environment.
Yeah. It sounds so awesome. I want to play.
Well, we run sessions. We recently started running sessions for adults. And this has been quite an interesting, I guess, experiment. So we ran it with the C-suite, the senior leadership team of a 150-person company. And the narrative of this challenge is you need to escape this dungeon, but you need to escape together. There are clues littered around that, you know, tell you how to escape, and you have to use critical thinking to decipher them. But there are also guards littered around. And if a guard catches you, you get sent back to the start of the challenge. Now, the only rule we impose on the learners is that if any one of you gets caught, all of you have to get caught and sent back to the start. And as you can imagine, getting caught once, twice, three times, no one bats an eyelid, we carry on. Imagine it's Alan getting caught 10 times and maybe the last time is near the end of the challenge. You all get sent back to the start. What are you going to do? You're probably going to get frustrated. You're going to feel a bit of tension. You're probably going to try and blame me. But then what's the right way of doing it? Is it to focus on the challenge? Is it to focus on beating the challenge? Or is it to focus on who to blame? And those are the skills we're trying to teach, not just children, but also adults. Interestingly enough, when we ran this with a senior leadership team, we found that the CEO was talking and making all the decisions. And because he spoke first, everyone else was like, yeah, great idea. Let's do that. But then I pulled the CEO aside and said, how about you don't speak until everyone else has spoken? See what happens. It was transformational. They smashed through the challenge. They're doing it at such a faster rate because they had the independent contributors. They weren't just agreeing to what the CEO said. And that's now translated into their company culture. And they've improved performance as a company as a whole, which is crazy.
Yeah. No, none of that surprises me. And I love that. And, you know, even, you know, as a founder and a CEO, I experienced that myself in my own work, in my own company, right? And sometimes I have to remind myself, let everybody else, right? It doesn't matter that, you know, I think I know. It's just part of the culture of the way, you know, companies and leadership works. And so I love that. And I'm not surprised, actually, that I wasn't the first one that says, I'm going to play your game, right? You know, that the adults are like, we have to have an iteration of this. And I guess the other thing that I really love about this is that you've created a tool that has the capability to teach broadly, right? You're focusing in on these very specific school skills, problem solving, whatever it happens to be, but you created the tool itself to lend itself so beautifully to a variety of different applications. That's brilliant. I just want to celebrate that. That's brilliant because that is not what we always see in real tech-based learning applications.
Thank you. You're too kind with your words, but the idea behind it was very much, we know the biggest problem is engagement. We wanted to bring that playfulness back into education, whether it's for adults, for children. You know, it's missing, right? A lot of education now is very serious, very grades focused. How can we create something that people want to be part of as opposed to being forced to? It was something that we saw as synthesis, right? Children would join and we'd ask them, why are you here? My mum forced me to be here. My mum signed me up. My dad signed me up. And that's not great. Whereas if it's very much, I want to be here because I want to learn, I want to have fun, I want to make new friends, your life is, as an educator, so much easier.
No, 100%, right? 100%. And we know that, right? I mean, the fastest way into the minds and the hearts of kids is to engage them in something that's meaningful, that they love, and that they believe in. That's the thing, right? You know, they will just like catch fire and they'll run with the thing if the adults will get out of the way to allow them the opportunity to explore whatever it is we're talking about.
It's interesting you say that. So there's two things I want to just quickly touch upon. One is we are intentionally an hour a week for each cohort. Now, parents have asked us, why don't you run this 7 days a week? We'll pay you seven times. You know, it's great for our children. We are against that because one, we don't want our games, our escape rooms to be addictive. There's enough of that at the moment. Screen time is a real problem. And we genuinely think that a balanced approach is really important. So kids should be outside riding a bike, you know, playing football, climbing a tree, making friends. It has to have a balance of both. I think a lot of the times when we speak about education, it can be quite extremist. You know, I believe in only this, and actually that's not the right approach. And the second thing is you're absolutely right that when students or individuals are interested and passionate about something, they will dive really deep and they'll actually make something really powerful. So I occasionally judge a few awards at the Knowledge Society, TKS, in Canada. They're an entrepreneurial school. And the last one that I did, one of the groups of students presented a wildfire solution. So they used drones to identify an AI to identify where wildfires could happen. The drones would pick it up and then they send signals to the emergency services to solve it before it becomes a big problem. I believe that one of those businesses recently got acquired by, I think it was Google, for $1 million. Imagine you're 16 years old and you've just sold a business to Google.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hacking school.
Yeah. And that is so not outside the realm of possibility anymore, right? That's the other thing that I love. That is not far-fetched. I mean, it's rare, don't get me wrong, but it is not impossible. And it's not even improbable anymore, which is super, super cool. Because honestly, and I've said this on the show so many times, people are probably tired of listening to me here, you know, to having me say this. But, you know, I've always argued that I would put our kids in the PAST Innovation Lab up against any R&D team in the world. And not because they come up with the perfect solution, but to your very point with that story, they will come up with incredibly viable potential solutions. And even if a single nugget out of what these kids who are unfettered by life experience that tells them all the reasons why they cannot or they should not, or it's not possible, right? If it's just a single nugget, imagine what might be possible.
Well, there's that experiment where you give a group of adults and a group of kids spaghetti and glue, and you want to build the biggest tower or the strongest bridge. And it's the kids who come up with the highest, strongest tower because they're willing to experiment, don't want perfection. And it's something that we really care about CreateLab, right? It's about creating a culture, an environment where it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to fail, but that's just the first step in learning. And then the idea is that we want to encourage them to experiment, to come up with hypotheses, to try different things, because that's how you learn. You know, it's why startups say iterate, fail fast. A lot of our students are from traditional school environments. And one joined on Saturday and he said to me, okay, I've done this, now what? Okay, I've done this, now what? And I had to say, I asked him the question, well, what do you think? What do you think is next? Have you tried this? What happens if you click on this? And I think it's not really, it's a mindset thing, but it's also a confidence thing. And I think we need to give our children that confidence to explore, the curiosity to make mistakes and not see mistakes as a bad thing. You know, it's the important things that we learn from them. And you asked me earlier about what we do in our sessions. At the end of each session, we ensure that every cohort has a reflection period. And the coach will ask questions like, what did we do well in? What could we have done better on? We do a SWOT analysis. Whatever it is, that reflection allows the kids to think about, okay, what could I have done better? What didn't quite work? Maybe I'll try this next time.
Yeah. And that's fabulous because absolutely kids learn more through all the things that don't work than they do for all the things that, you know, that do work, and they just gloss over them because that's super easy, right? And then, yeah, 100%. I love that. So I'm super curious then. So first and foremost, so the cohorts, and one of the things I love about it is the fact that it's global. These kiddos can come from all over the world, which is great because what a fabulous way to learn about different people in different parts of the world with different circumstances. But how do the kids find this program? Is this something that's being pushed through their schools? Is it just they stumble upon it online? How is it that kids and families get involved in this?
So we're really grateful that most of our students have come through word of mouth. So originally, they came from 10 parents that we ran a free cohort for, and they really loved it, and they shared it with their friends, and they've shared it with their friends. We're now, I think, just under 200 students. We are also now working with schools. So we never intentionally wanted to work with schools. The idea was, let's help as many students directly through, you know, homeschoolers, traditional schools, world schoolers, and then we will see what happens. And we've gotten to the point now where parents are recommending us to their schools, their colleges, and we're not right for everyone. We're not right for every school. The key criteria being that the teachers who run our sessions have to be able to coach. And obviously, it's a very different skill set. But also because we really, so the idea is that we want to make sure that this is accessible, and we also want to make sure that we can help as many kids learn these life skills. So when we go into a school, we run a pilot, and it's, you know, play one of our games, one of our challenges, one of our escape rooms, the same session, but we ask the teaching assistant to, the teacher to sit in as a teaching assistant. And the idea of that is we want the teacher to start picking up some of the coaching techniques that we use so that they can start applying it in their classroom. And I don't have a lot of evidence here, but for a school that we ran this for in Southwest London, the teacher came back to us after 3 weeks and they said, I've noticed quite a few changes. I've noticed that attendance has improved. I noticed that grades have improved in the classroom. I noticed that our students are asking more questions and is a better learning environment. And I suspect, I don't know for sure, but I suspect part of the reason is that the teachers are using more coaching techniques. So they're not just teaching, they're coaching. They're asking, using Socratic questions. I suspect part of it is because the students have a better relationship with the teachers because they feel that they're part of a secret club as being part of CoLab. But also I think the students have gained more agency, more confidence as a result of playing these games and giving that freedom to roam. They're then starting to apply that, you know, oh, trigonometry works. Okay, well, let's dig deeper. Why is that? Or they've learned about game theory and then digging deeper into that. There has to be that innate desire. And what we try to do is unlock that curiosity.
Yeah, I love that very much. And I can completely see that happening. And I also understand sort of, you know, not being able to sort of pinpoint or have the tangible or empirical sort of data at this point. It's early days in for you. But I have no doubt that what those educators reporting back to you and your assumptions are true, right? And that, you know, if and when you have the moment to have the data to support that, you're going to find that very thing, right? Because teachers who watch their kids, or this is my experience. Let me step back from this just a minute. This is my experience that educators who have the opportunity to watch kids that they typically see either unengaged or disruptive, or just, you know, you can tell they're bored or just going through the motions, right? They can even be your high flyer kids that are like, tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to ace it. I'm moving on to the next thing, right? All of those kids, right? When educators suddenly get to witness the transformation that happens around engagement, like meaningful engagement, most educators I know, they pay attention. They dissect that because they're like, oh my gosh, well, if I can do that every moment of every day, not just when we're in the CoLab game, then imagine how much more fulfilling my own existence will be.
And it solves a huge problem, right? We know that teacher attrition is a big issue around the world. Mm-hmm. So if we can make their lives easier, we can make their lives better, then it's a great thing. And that's part of the reason we want to start working in schools, because we want to help teachers find that joy again in teaching. We want to help them learn new skills. A lot of the people that come to CoLab to work as facilitators, we say to them, see us as a stepping stone. I don't mind, you know, come to us and learn how to code, how to facilitate, how to coach, how to do curriculum design, whatever it is. Because we know that these people will go out with the right intentions and build great things for educators and for learners. Isn't that a great thing for everyone?
It is a great thing for everyone. Absolutely. I appreciate that so much. I'm super curious, Alan, when you sort of think about the journey that you've already been on and the experiences you've had both with young learners as well as older or adult learners, what surprises you?
Oh, that's a great question. It surprises me how quickly we can learn and unlearn things. So a lot of students who come from traditional schools, we notice that when they want to speak, it's always hands up. And you know, we don't do that in real life as adults. So we try and help our students unlearn that. And it's very easy with the right incentives and the right coaching to stop those things happening. So that was quite a nice surprise, because everyone says change is hard, change takes time. But actually, with the right culture and coaching, it's much easier. The second surprise is actually being very honest. It's been very hard to keep coming up with new curriculum and content. Learners, especially young learners, they are so smart. If they're in the right environment, they can just take everything apart. You know, everything you've built,
yeah,
expecting it to last for 10, 12 weeks. They might do it in 4, We might do it live.
Yeah.
And so we've had to come up with challenges on the fly. We've had to extend certain things. And it's been great for us as a business to learn and how to adapt and make this more scalable. But there have also been really joyous moments. So we accidentally, we created the game called Chicken Tomato, Chicken Tomato. It's the silliest game in the world, but it's like Pac-Man, but with a purpose. And the students really love it. And, you know, within each challenge, there's a particular objective that they want to learn. We asked our oldest cohort, most experienced cohort, to design a map, because they all said they want to be game designers. So we asked them to design a map, and they basically designed it. We made it. They played it. They iterated it. We then made those changes, and they played it again. And then I said, is there anything else you want to change? And they said, no, we think it's perfect. We got a game designer, an actual real-life game designer, to come in and critique the map that they made. And this was really actually a really memorable moment. So the one of the children came up there, who came up with the idea, the game designer said, your game is amazing. Your design is amazing. I love everything about it. But what I don't love is that I can't get emotionally attached to the character, to the process. And the reason for that is because the narrative isn't there. There's no arc. There's no hero's arc.
Exactly. No storyline.
His mom messaged us later to say, yeah, my son doesn't really read. He doesn't like reading. And after the game designer gave him that feedback and gave the suggestion that, you know, you should read more because it, it helps you build those story arcs, his mom said that he reads every week now, which is
That's awesome. That's fabulous.
A huge transformational change. It will impact him for the rest of his life. And those little nuggets where we can make that difference is the thing, it's the reason why we do this.
I love that very much. And again, I'm not shocked by that, but I love that story, right? Because it's just so incredibly tangible. And we can all point to some kid in some program, right, that had some miraculous thing happened, and it was just a joyous thing for the rest of their lives. We've all experienced that. I'm super curious, though, Alan, with the work that you're doing, and I have no doubt the sort of pace that it takes knowing kids to keep up with them, right? What are you, as an organization and as a team, what are you working on next? Like, not your super secret IP. I don't want you to tell me that. But when our listeners are engaging in this conversation with us, I have no doubt they're like, okay, this is awesome, but what happens next with all of this? What do you have in your mind? I can imagine, for example, just this incredible opportunity around teacher or leadership development, professional development. I can imagine an opportunity for re-credentialing somehow through this process. I can imagine new games. I mean, so where do you feel like as a company or organization, there is time well spent moving forward?
The idea behind CoLab is that we wanted it to be a social impact business. We wanted it to be beneficial to not just us, to students, but also to the wider education system. So a couple of things that we're working on right now, and you know, we're very transparent, there are no secrets at CoLab. The first thing we're trying to do is try to be the glue that starts to bind educators and policymakers and parents together, because we know that we can't make the change alone. It has to be a combined effort. So we're working with a lot of different providers like First Lego League. We're working with people who are ex-colleagues like Recess and Launchpad. And we're trying to provide options for parents and educators to have access to good edtech platforms or programs that can make a difference. So that's the first one. It's kind of this opening access and making everything better and sharing that knowledge to enable that. The second thing is that we're working on the way we communicate with parents. And it's not just, you know, this is what your son, your daughter did during the challenge. This is what they did well in. This is what they could do better on. But part of it is also educating the parents through and giving them activities they can do at home with the child to prolong that learning. Because I think that I'm not a parent, so I don't know for sure. But a lot of the parents tell me, you know, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I'm trying to do the right thing. But how do I know what's the right thing? And we know that CoLab's only for an hour a week. How can we prolong the learning that they have there into the rest of the week? So we'll give them activities or certain things that they can practice at home, certain phrases they can use. You know, if we notice that we want our students to be better communicators and they've noticed, they've seen that someone's had their hand up or someone got interrupted, how can they bring them into the conversation? And the little techniques that you can just copy verbatim to, you know, and it becomes part of their DNA, part of their foundations. So that's something that we're working on a lot. One thing that we really care about is accessibility. So trying to make education fair and accessible to those who need it. A lot of edtech platforms out there require you to have the fastest internet, the best laptops. What's the point in that? The rich get better and the poor stay, you know. It doesn't make any sense. We want to open up those opportunities. And it's why we run this, for want of a better word, the Robin Hood model. So those who can afford CoLab pay, and those who can't, we subsidize and, you know, give scholarships as much as we can. We have sponsored 7 students recently from Ukraine who want to have access to this program. And we would love to do more of that. It's something that is really close to our hearts and we want to do more of, but trying to balance that, keeping CoLab alive, you know, spending money on curriculum development, and then also giving back is kind of that trifecta that we want to find balance on. And then, like you said, you know, trying to work with older students, adults even, you know, maybe corporates could see this as a CSR opportunity. They think, okay, I want to give money. What's the best way? Could we give the money to a school to afford CoLab? And then that is, you know, 100 students having those learning opportunities where previously they couldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it so much. Just truly, truly amazing. So, you know, Alan, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join us. You know, it's always amazing to me when I look down at the clock and I'm like, oh my gosh, we've just spent an entire half hour chatting and I could have so many more questions with you. So I really, really appreciate both the work that you're doing, but more importantly, the passion that you and your team put behind it and the fact that you're working so hard to get kids engaged and learning amazing skills all at the same time. So thank you very much for your work and for joining us.
Thank you
today.
For having me. I mean, what we do is really a pleasure, and we hope that, you know, we can inspire others to do the same thing.
Yeah, you play all day, don't you?
You've caught me red-handed.
Yeah, I can tell. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.